I've been looking at this chapter of James in my own congregation in Linslade for a number of weeks, about 10 or 12 weeks, so I didn't actually look to see how many it was. And it keeps opening up further and further. In fact, I started to preach a message, and it took 5 weeks to get through the one message. And one of my congregation said to me, "You didn't seriously think you could do that in one day, did you?" And, well, that was what my plan was to start off with. But it's tremendously full, this chapter, and tremendously useful to us if we can bring these things into our minds and understand what James is saying, indeed what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Just to look at, give a bit of a background to what James is saying here before I go on to my subject, because obviously I can't preach on the whole chapter. I'd love to be able to do so, but I need to take a part of it, and so I need to fill in something of the background in order to do that. Verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." The word temptations in the Greek is the word pierasmos. It can be temptations or it can be trials. Both of these things in a certain sense mean the same thing. But they, to us, mean something slightly different. And we know that a trial is something that tests us, whereas a temptation is something which draws us away to sin. And both of these uses are here in this chapter. We see in verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil." There is the temptation towards sin. But here in this second verse, when it says, "Ye fall into divers temptations," the sense in which it falls, we must regard it as being trials, as being tests. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. What does that mean, that we should count these temptations, these trials, with a fullness of joy? No, it doesn't. What it means is that all of the temptations, all of the trials into which we fall, we are to count them all joy. We are to rejoice in trials. We are to consider trials to be something given to us of God as a benefit to us, as a blessing to our souls. Indeed, James deals with this in verse 17 and says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So the trials which are sent to us, or we are allowed to go through, are for our benefit, that we might grow by them. And we will see something more of that in a moment. When it says ye fall into divers temptations or diverse temptations, ye fall into, that word in the Greek means to be surrounded by. I suppose we might use the terminology of falling into mud. And we fall into it and we are surrounded, we are enveloped in it. And the trials sometimes of life envelop us. They envelop us physically on occasion. And we feel the infirmities of the flesh, and we have no strength. And we know that the devil, when he could have the opportunity to get at Job, used those physical trials. He worked on Job physically. He made him ill. He made him sick. He made him so that he would curse God and die. And the trials sometimes are physical. On other occasions, they will be mental. We can have mental trials, and those trials sometimes are worries which take hold of our minds so that we can't sleep. Indeed, my daughter last night received a text from her aunt, which was probably not the best thing to do because it was about 1:30 in the morning, and it was something about school. My daughter's a teacher, and it was something about school and things which are going to be required in school. Well, lots of these things they're more worried about than they are actual concrete. But it wasn't the time to send it to her, and so she said, "I don't know how I'm going to sleep now, I'll be worrying about that all night." Well, we can worry about things, can't we? Sometimes they never come to fruition. Sometimes they mean absolutely nothing. But we can worry about them. They can keep us awake, they can stop us from sleeping. Mental trials come to us. And then spiritual trials. Quite often, mental trials, spiritual trials will come together. Sometimes the trials of the spirit will come apart from those other things. But it's a common thing, really, for all of these trials to come together. We can be ill. We can worry about our health. And because we're worrying about our health, we're not really drawing near to the Lord. sometimes we think that, well, it would be nice to have some time off, and if I was ill, I could read my Bible, and I could pray, and I could get close to the Lord. But we often find when we are in such a condition, we actually don't feel like doing that. And that's a shame, perhaps, but, you know, the temptations, these trials which come upon us, can cause us great problems. But he says that we are to count them all joy. We are to rejoice in them, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. And he says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking in nothing. Let her have her perfect work. The word perfect here is a work of completion, that you may be complete. It doesn't mean sinless perfection. It just means well-rounded, someone who is complete in their understanding and in their walk with the Lord. Let patience have her perfect work. Well, these are the basics of the idea which James has before us here, and he is seeking to assure us that the temptations, the trials which have come from the Lord, they will be for our benefit if we walk with him, if we trust in him. Of course, these trials can also be temptations in the sense that we find that James speaks of the being drawn away of our own lusts, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What is he speaking about here? He is saying that when trials come upon us, the way to walk through those trials is in trusting in the Lord. When we trust the Lord, he will strengthen us, he will build us, and we will come out of the other side of that trial higher up, with more understanding and with more faith and with more confidence in the Lord, having seen the hand of our God upon us. But he says, at the same time, when trials come, there is always the temptation from the flesh that we seek to avoid them. Perhaps there may be financial trials. And instead of seeking to the Lord for relief and for help, we find some other way. We don't think about coming before the Lord. We don't think about, how can I use this for God's glory? How can I grow? How can I have this for a blessing to my soul? But how can I get out of this? This is terrible. And people turn to all kinds of ways to try and get out of financial difficulties or other social difficulties. Instead of coming to the Lord in prayer, they bow to the temptation of our own lusts and are enticed. And when that lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. James says, be careful. Count it joy. Trust in the Lord. And then in verse 5, we read, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, he says in verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. But then he says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So he is making a difference between lacking in wisdom and lacking in other things. The work of God will give us an understanding and will cause us to grow in grace as we go through trials and trust in him. But when it comes to wisdom, we don't grow in wisdom by going through trials. What we need for wisdom is to seek God, to call upon the name of the Lord. If any of you lack wisdom, he says, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask of God. So basically James is saying this, if we can seek to sum it up. We all go through trials. When a trial comes, seek the wisdom of God. When a trial comes, endure that trial, with the only escape being the Lord. Look up to the Lord. Trust in him. You don't necessarily have to go through the depths of a trial, because the Lord can deliver you. So seek to the Lord. Indeed, we read at the end of James that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are to pray. We are to seek the Lord. And the Lord will bring us through, and we will grow in grace, and we will grow in understanding, and we will be strengthened. But James says, when the trial comes, be careful that you are not tempted to take another route. the root of your own mind, the root of your own ways, a way of escape so that you don't go through those trials. Remember the Lord Jesus as he was taken by the Spirit into the wilderness and tempted. We have only three records of the temptations which he went through. Perhaps there were many more. We cannot tell. But what the Lord shows us are temptations where Satan comes and tempts him to take shortcuts. You have been here for 6 weeks. You are hungry. Command these stones that they be made bread. You can do that. You are the Son of God. But Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Jesus will not take the shortcut. He will go through the trial. He will get bread when bread is supplied. He will trust in his Father, and he will live by the word of God. And we are called to do the same thing. In Hebrews, we read in the 12th chapter, just a page back, it tells us there, and it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin? And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You see, Christ goes through temptation. He doesn't take the easy route, but he prays, and he seeks the Father. And Hebrews tells us that he was heard in that he feared. He came before the Lord with strong prayers and with crying, and was heard in that he feared. This is the path which James says to us. When trials come upon us, go before the Lord. Seek the Lord. Be careful of the temptation to sin, to avoid the temptation, to avoid the trial, and seek the Lord. This is what he is saying. And this morning, if we have a purpose in our hearts to walk with the Lord and to grow in grace and to know the Lord, to go on to know the Lord and to know the crown of glory which the Lord will give to those who overcome. For we read it there in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If that is our purpose, then let's seek to go on with the Lord and go through. First of all, I want to consider with you then the aspiration which is envisaged by James. And that aspiration is one for godliness. What James desires for his brethren, and he calls them his beloved brethren, see there in verse 16 and other places also throughout this letter, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. What he desires for them is that they should grow. That they should know the fullness of the blessing of the Lord in their hearts. This is the aspiration which James has, that I might go on to know the Lord, that I might know the touch of the Lord upon me, that I might know the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. His aspiration is for godliness, for righteousness, to know the presence of the Lord and the joy of the Lord in his heart. This is what he wants. And his desire is that his brethren also, his beloved brethren, should know the same thing. This aspiration to know God, that we should go on to know the Lord. Is that not our aspiration, child of God, that we should know him, that we should know the fullness of blessing? Is it not the purpose in our walk with the Lord that we should receive the crown of life and enter into glory and see him as he is? Do we not want to know that fullness? The aspiration envisaged by James is that the people of God desire to go on and to grow. And he says, if you desire to go on and to grow, then count it joy when troubles and trials come. The aspiration again for James is for gain, that they might gain something that they might gain patience. You know, Paul has the same lesson in Romans chapter 5. If we turn to Romans chapter 5, you have your Bibles. It's a good thing always to turn up the scriptures. I like to study from the Bible I preach from, because you get a picture in your mind of where things are on the page. And if I use a different Bible and go into a pulpit, then something will come to my mind and I won't be able to find it, because it'll be on a different page in a different place. It's always a good thing to look up the references. There in chapter 5, right at the beginning, in the second verse, we read, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory," and that's the same word there in the Greek as the word rejoice in the verse before. "And not only so, but we rejoice in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience or endurance, and patience or endurance experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You see, every time the Lord comes and helps us through a trial, and he gives us a deliverance, or he teaches us something, and we grow in grace and can look back and say, "Yes, I certainly learned a lesson as I went through that difficulty in my life. And I found that the Lord was with me, and when I prayed, he answered prayer. He supplied my need. He gave me health. He settled my mind. He lifted my spirit," or whatever else it may be that we can say that the Lord was with us. We grow with experience, and our experiences help us as we go on with the Lord. If we seek to avoid the trials and take the easy way out every time, then we never grow in that experience. We never experience the presence of the Lord. We never experience the answers to prayer that we have need of. And we need to seek him. And Paul is able to say, I rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh it patience, and patience gives me experience, and experience gives me hope. Hope? Hope because I have hoped in the Lord in the past, and he has always come through for me. He has always been my deliverer. He has always supplied my need. Once and again, when I've had need of food or a place to stay or whatever it may be, the Lord has always come through for me, and so I can trust him. I know I can trust him. And when the day comes that he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he would still have that great expectation and knowledge that he can trust the Lord, that the Lord is with him. Death is a fearful thing, even for Christians. And sometimes people come to that time and they fear to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But when we know the Lord so closely, and his hand has been upon us in such blessedness, then we have a hope which maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So there is gain here. The aspiration of James is that these people might have gain, that they might add to their faith, that they might grow in grace, and an aspiration also for glory, as we have read in verse 12, "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." A purpose in our hearts. So often, even Christians don't have a purpose in their hearts. They think that the purpose has already been fulfilled, that the purpose is that our sins are forgiven, and that one day we will go to heaven. But we need a purpose. We need to be growing in grace. We need to have something set before us. The apostle, writing in the Hebrews, says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." What do we have set before us? What is our purpose? What is our desire? Then the application which is engendered here. The application. We need a focus. We need to bring our focus onto the life which we have in Christ, that we might know the fullness of his blessing. It's sad when we come across those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and have no really experience of the blessing of the Lord. We see them in church week by week. They say, "Yes, I'm the Lord's. but they've never really grown. They have no real understanding of the Word of God. We have someone in our congregation in Feltham who asks questions all the time, reads the Bible, has questions, wants to know the answers, seeks out those answers to comprehend and to grow and to know the blessing of the Lord. But so many, they turn up on a Sunday morning and that's all that's seen of them. Others perhaps will come on a Sunday and in the morning and or twice on the Lord's Day, and perhaps they'll come out to a prayer meeting. But again, there is no real walking with the Lord. But we need a purpose. We need a focus. And James speaks about this in verse 6 when he tells us that we should ask of the Lord for wisdom. He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. Driven to and fro. Toward and froward. Sometimes we come across that word in Scripture. Perhaps you've never really thought about what froward means. But we know what toward means. When we go toward something, we understand it. And we know what the terms to and fro mean. And a froward person is someone who is going away from the Lord. But we are to go toward him. We are to seek him. But here are some that James speaks of who are like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed, backwards and forwards by every wind of doctrine, afraid. In Luke, we read of those who were on the sea. In Luke chapter 8, we read of them, and verse 24. Luke 8 and verse 24, and it says, as they sailed, I'm going from verse 23. As they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish! You see, if we have this toward and froward, this backwards and forwards, not sure if we want to go on with the Lord or whether we want the world, not sure if we want to know the blessing of the Lord or whether we want the things of the world, not sure if we want to look up or to look down at the things that are around us, then we begin to get afraid when the troubles come and the trials come. And we don't have that hope which maketh not ashamed. We need a focus. We need to look to the Lord. We need a single mind. We are not to be double-minded. In James himself, he writes in verse chapter 4 and verse 8, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What does he mean, purify? He means to come down one way or another. In Revelation, John writes of the church of Laodicea that it was lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. And the Lord said, because ye are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And so many, sadly, are lukewarm. But we need to have this singleness of mind, a focus, looking to the Lord. We need a fortitude also, a determination to overcome with the Saviour. This needs to be a mindset. This needs to be in our minds and in our hearts, that I want to go through with the Lord. Remember, as Moses comes to the camp of Israel and he cries out from the gate, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Are we on the Lord's side? Do we desire to know the fullness of the blessing? Do we really want to know the Lord? Again, so many who profess the name of Christ have no knowledge of the Lord. We need that determination. A determination which will endure hardships as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. When trials and tribulations and difficulties come, whether they be physical, whether they be mental, whether they be spiritual, we have to say in our hearts, I am on the Lord's side. I will go with him. James refers to Job in the 5th chapter. He says, you have heard of the patience of Job. But what did Job go through? And what did Job say? Job says, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, we read, Job sinned not, neither charge God foolishly. James speaks of this in verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, charging God foolishly. But he desires to go through, and he will go through. And we come then to consider the fruition. When we have this application of James's teaching here, there is a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit grows in us. The love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and gentleness and the faith, the goodness, the meekness, all of these things begin to grow in us because we have tested the Lord and found him to be true. Prove me now herewith, the Lord says. And when trials and difficulties and tribulations come, put your faith in him. We are his children. It's wonderful how this whole chapter comes together in a perfect whole. And when we go down to those verses, in verses 18 and 17 and 18, we read in verse 18 there, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. He begat us with the word of truth. Think about this. God begat us with a purpose. He doesn't begin a work and fail. His purpose is to bring us at last to glory. He will not depart from us. But so often we depart from him and we don't trust him. He begat us with the word of truth. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Hear the word of truth. We were saved by the word of truth, by the preaching of the word. We read in 1 Peter of that way of salvation, which is by the Lord. And it says in verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Hear the word. Do we need wisdom? Then search the scriptures. Do we need a wisdom to be able to apply the scriptures? Then ask of God. In James chapter 3, I think it's verse 15 and onwards, we read of the wisdom of which James speaks. There he speaks of a wisdom. And he says there in verse 13, it is not 15, but verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. This double-mindedness again, and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness. We've been called to bring forth fruit. And through trials, we can bring forth fruit. We read of the vine in John chapter 15 and how it is pruned and how it is lifted up. And these trials, they bring forth fruit in us. The application then of James's thoughts of the aspiration of the child of God is that we should go through with him with fortitude to bring forth fruit to his glory. And then he encourages this attitude in verses 9 to 11. He says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. What is James saying here? How is the brother of low degree to rejoice in that he is exalted? What is he saying? Why would a rich man rejoice in that he is made low. The brother of low degree, who would that be? That would be the poor among the people. That would be also the slave who has a master. That would be those who have nothing of themselves. That would be those who are sick or ill. Those who perhaps have mental problems. The brother of low degree. How is he exalted? Because his trials are many. Day by day, almost hour by hour, the trials come upon him. Just as these trials, when he says, ye fall into divers trials. He is surrounded like mud. It is sticking to him. He comes through one trial and there's another trial. How is this an exaltation? Because through trials the Lord lifts us up. And here is a man who has a multitude of trials and can trust in the Lord. We find the Lazarus at the rich man's gate with all of the trials and the dogs licking his sores, and he has nothing and would fain eat of the crumbs of the rich man's table. But he is taken and carried by the angels to glory, because through those trials he trusted God and he grew in grace and in understanding. Whereas the rich man with all that he had didn't need to go through trials. And so James says here in verse 10, but the rich in that he is made low. Because when trials come upon the rich, they are brought to this position where they might grow in grace. When we have riches, when we have all that we need, when there is no food, we can send someone to buy some. When there is something that needs to be done, we can hire someone to do it. If we are sick, and think of the days in which James lived, not as it is in this land, but in James's time and in James's land, if someone was sick, we read of a woman who spent all her living on physicians. But the rich man can afford the physicians. He can afford the nursemaids. He can afford those to care for his property while he is ill. But James says, when you are made low, when the trials come, count this a joy. Here is your opportunity to trust in the Lord. You so seldom need to trust in the Lord because you have everything you need. But now you can trust him. Now you can understand the presence of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. Count it a joy, rich man, that the Lord has brought you low. Know this, that the flower of the grass shall pass away. You have riches now. You came into this world and perhaps you inherited those riches. But it is certain that you will carry none of those riches away with you. And only that which you have grown in grace, and only that which is spiritual, and only the riches of your heart and of your soul, that is what you need to go into heaven. The riches of this world are nothing. Or that we might understand the need for the trials which come into our lives, and that we might grow in grace and in understanding of the ways of the Lord. We need then finally to acquiesce to the Lord's ways. These are the Lord's ways. We read of the psalmist, and so often he is brought low. He was a rich man, became king. And we find that when he trusts in his riches, that is when he falls away from the Lord. When he uses his power as king to beguile and to draw aside Bathsheba, that is when he falls away from the Lord. When he is poor, when the trials are surrounding him, when Saul is after him for his life, then he seeks to the Lord and he grows in grace and in understanding. This is the way that the Lord deals with us. The trials that we go through are there for a blessing to our souls. The trials are the time when we can draw near to God and we can see his power. When he will lift us up. When he will draw nigh to us. Then we are strengthened. How we need to meditate upon these thoughts and bind them to our own hearts. Day by day, trials come. Sometimes they are just simple, small things. But James speaks about these words in verse 12, that we are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. How many times when trials have come, difficulties have come, have we lost our temper with someone because they are the last straw? Just all I need. Everything's gone wrong this day. And we speak foolishly. but all that we might have this heart and purpose to walk with God. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. May the Lord bless his word to us. May we all grow in grace through the trials and the difficulties of life, until at last we enter into the place where there is no more sea, where there is no more wave tossed to and fro, where we will be at peace with a crown of life to the glory of God. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask thy presence with us through the difficulties and trials of life. Help us, Lord, to grow and to know more of thee. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst write these words upon our hearts, that we might not be hearers only, but doers also of the right counsel of the Lord. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.